Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Yellow Cosmic Sun, and it is the 13th day of the Yellow Star Wave Spell, and it is the Solar Moon Day 23. We are then at the end of the wave spell. We're coming close to the end of the moon, the solar moon, the ninth moon of the year. And the most exciting of all, today is the last day of the Zolk'in. The Zolk'in is 260 days long. It is representational of gestation in the womb. So we can think back toward last summer, the middle of July, and what we were conceiving that's going to be born in the next wave spell, the Red Dragon wave spell that starts tomorrow. So to reiterate, please know that the new Zolk'in begins on March 30th, which is a Monday, and we will be jumping right into this powerful wave spell of birth, Red Dragon, the Divine Feminine. The idea being that we sort of spend the 13 days in a birth channel and are making a kind of ceremonious separation from having been in the womb with the guardianship of some kind of divine feminine, the great mother, and then we're going to move out into the world. So it's kind of interesting that a lot of us are quarantined, but I'm going to spend the podcast focused on the natural time teaching inner world and try to let go of drawing perspectives from our pandemic experience. I might slip and fall and refer to that, but I want to jam in some of this big information. First is just mood-wise, I realized that I was in an ecstatic state last summer when we were concluding the Zolk'in, because it was also the conclusion of a 13-year wave spell. So to remind somewhat newcomers of how this all works, we have 13-day wave spells, and we have 13 moon wave spells, which is just the year, what we call the year, the Earth's orbit around the sun, which takes 365 days. That is divided into 13 months that are 28 days long, 13 moons. So we have a 13-day wave spell, 13 moon wave spell, and then we also have a 13-year wave spell. And so at the end of July, July 24th, in 2019, we were concluding the red moon wave spell of 13 years. And then we began on July 26, 2019, the white wizard wave spell of 13 years. And so I had so much like frenzied exhilaration and just like genuine thrill to be so conscious for that change of seasons, really strong tonal change, and this emergence from 13 years of Red Moon's influence in this purification process. And then we stepped boldly into White Wizard. White Magnetic Wizard, the year that surrounds us, is all about attracting our purpose for the 13-year cycle. We spend 1 year, as we spend 1 day at the beginning of a wave spell, pulling, attracting magnetically our purpose, our mission, the first stages of our journey, kind of the map of the adventure that we're going to encounter and embark on. And so it is a year of culling all this information from what comes into our space, what we find sort of magnetically, karmically drawn to us. So keep that in the back of your mind as you're starting the new Dzogchen, is that there's this whole, pivotal and apparently apocryphal first year, and the White Wizard teaching is one of enchantment, timelessness, and receptivity. Those are the words José Arguelles chose. For me, White Wizard can kind of be described colloquially in two ways. One is it is the time of the shaman. So White Wizard is the shaman, the medicine woman, and takes us back to indigenous cultures where every tribe, every village had their healer, basically their version of the doctor, and in the healing sanctuary of the shaman, you found your answers, whether they're physical maladies that needed to be addressed or something that was more like spiritual malady. Both could be resolved with the shaman, with the wizard. So we have this 13-year odyssey of rediscovering shamanic indicators and powers and healers in our lives, and that we become that ourselves. And we have, I think, lots of psychic insight and direct connection to the universe, the creator, the source. Like, that is the depiction of the hieroglyph of White Wizard. It is a giant eye, a god's eye, hovering over the opening to like a tent or a hut, a dwelling, which is where you enter to meet the shaman. So our minds are illuminated, our homes are illuminated, our intent is illuminated by divine influence for this 13-year odyssey. So that's, like I said, colloquially, it's one, it's the time of the shaman. The other one, which I think really explains much more the struggle that we really feel intensely already in this year, is that it is like a fairy tale, that to be in White Wizard and enchantment means that we are sort of in our own path going to look a lot like all the heroes and heroines of the fairy tales of our upbringing, where we are encountering evil and dark forces and always just barely saved by the light. And that, of course, we arrive in light at the end. We arrive in goodness. We carry goodness with us along the way. We meet goodness along the way in the form of guides and helpers. And it's never so dire that the journey in the land of enchantment ends in total destruction. But there's so many near misses, and there's so much fortitude that's developed and required. And then, when it's over, we have seen goodness prevail. I'm just using words like good and evil as shortcuts. But you know what I mean. Just like dark and heavy and selfish, greedy, egoic. Those are words we use kind of in our modern vernacular. And then, trying to have integrity and trying to stay clear and trying to have good intentions and trying to be graceful and loving. So this is the struggle, and it's clear in this first year that right now, some of us have had clarity that we've been struggling with dark forces in our midst more pronounced, more blatantly. So I guess we're just now adding the pandemic, but the pandemic seems to have this quality maybe of overriding some of the human failings and flaws that we've been subjected to, the resurgence of racism, the resurgence of really arrogant bullying, not just from, the highest office, but just set free in the discussion on the planet is just a lot of ugly thinking and name calling and derisiveness and so on. So all of that we've attracted this year, but it's coming to a head and shifting. Like, you can feel this shift where it gets beyond humanoid. Now we have in our midst a virus and this like wildfire. So just think of all of that as part of our purpose for 13 years. But at the same time, there are some endings and renewals that are happening right now in immediacy. So there's one other piece of like long lodged kind of accounting or bookkeeping that I wanted to do and never get to because I go off on tangents. But let me do that first, and then I'll tighten our understanding of what it means to change Zolkin cycles and also how the solar moon is going to finish up really quickly here. So it's a 52-year cycle that suggests for us a full lifespan in Mayan perception. So we're born and we're born into a day sign in the Zolkin, and we are given that as our astrology, our identification. We're given a tribe and a tone based on the wave spell that we're born in. And then we will celebrate our birthdays, our natural Gregorian birthdays, every year, and they will not have anything to do with our Zolkin birthday. Our Zolkin birthday, our Mayan birthday, will be every 260 days. So it's more frequent, it's more fun, and it's irregular because it's not associated with our day of birth, the month, and the Gregorian year. So 52 years at age 52, finally, your birthday on the Gregorian calendar and your Zolkin birthday come back and meet again. And that is why it is a complete life cycle. And we could say that the Maya, in some estimation, would have expected for that to be a complete life cycle, and it would be time to die, time to pass. So we continue to live, and I am going to be 52 on my birthday in November. And so that's on my mind, and it'll be part of the podcast, because I think for anyone approaching that or reflecting on that birthday, there's always going to be something remarkable that happens in your life, between 50 and 54, and sometimes right there as you approach or, you know, bow into your 52nd birthday. But I wanted to mention that I was born in 1968. It is something I've spoken about on the podcast before, but I feel like it needs to be reiterated every few episodes because it just, to me, is so monumental given how much is happening culturally and globally that I want to refer back 52 years and show you some examples of this magic of what the 52-year cycle is for, you know, all of humanity or all of Americans. So 52 years ago was 1968, so we could say March 30th, 1968, March 29th, 1968, and that means that we're approaching really remarkable, memorable events, and I'm not going to like be your Google and spit out all the things that happened in 1968, but it was just such a pivotal year in history. It's earmarked by the Summer of Love was 1968, and you can just allow then that we're moving towards another, you know, the exact, I want to say it this way, the exact Zolkin and 13 moon resonances as 52 years ago. So that's why it's relevant. It's relevant because, you know, March 29, 1968 was also yellow cosmic sun and solar moon 23. So it's the same. And you can pick out the historic dates in 1968, and I might start bringing some of the podcasts and say, well, what is happening today when we hit that anniversary, the 52-year anniversary of such? Because plenty of things happen, like, you know, Nixon was elected in 1962, and so on. That'll be down the road in November. But I just think that since we are suddenly, we went from being kind of in crisis mode, anticipating climate crisis, and crisis mode adjusting to nationalism and all of its, you know, ills for the last few years. But, you know, it's just really seminal that now we're adding something that's almost paranormal or like feels alien. You know, of course, it comes from wild animals and it saturates human vulnerabilities, but the way it's washing over our world feels like, something is being corrected from, you know, a far far outreaching, body. I would say a heavenly body that we're going towards healing, but it's certainly disruptive, and it seems to be overpowering humanity in the right way, where people are pushed back together collectively instead of identifying all their differences. And so I'm starting to see it or look at it with that inquiry of like, oh, is this disruption actually a revelation? And to what degree? Because of course it is causing tremendous suffering as well. So I'm not trying to be glib, but like it's forcing people, you know, as we describe in wartime, to, look to survival, but also look for their, best intentions and their actions. So that makes me want to jump back. Just keep that in mind, because I will try to bring, reflections of the 52-year cycle as we move through it, because it's interesting. But right now, let me make sure that we all understand when the Yellow Star Way spell came, and I was saying that one of the ways that I've come to understand it is that the Yellow Star tribe is a representation of Venus and reverence of Venus in the sky. But, while it is a celebration of beauty, as Venus is such a jewel in the night sky, we all emulate to be that beautiful, bright light, specialized, sweet, soft, bright light in the sky. And we have that intention or impulse behind us in the wave spell to make art or be art or admire art. That it is also a time of a call to war, and that the reason for that is because Venus was an inspiration with all of that brilliant sheen and remarkability in the night sky, or in the sky at dusk, or in the sky at dawn. How Venus shows up by the crescent moon, Venus shows up on the horizon line. I mean, that's because Venus is like a moon. It's the planet that is illuminated by the sun setting, the sun rising, especially. Well, in any case, the virility of Venus in the sky, the power of that brightness, it inspired the Maya to go to war, or to choose time for war action based on their viewing of it as favorable per Venus's presence. And so I really think it is interesting that, we just have embarked here on a war. It's a war for survival. There isn't really any particular invader, of course. It's obvious that we do have leaders that are rising, and we have combat armies in the form of caretakers in the hospitals and so forth. But it is somehow relevant that we, just started a war, that Venus came in the form of Yellow Star, and it got us into a warlike atmosphere, pronouncedly, at least in the United States. So that'll be my last commentary on Yellow Star. And, I'm not trying to draw these parallels really hard and fast. It's just how my mind works. My mind is always bending around the Mayan code, and so I want to make those suggestions, but we're still going to have coronavirus when it's not Yellow Star Wave Spell, and so we just have to make our way through these different rhythms and tones. I would say, as I have for a few podcasts now, that the solar moon has been really idea-driven and anticipation-driven. Intention is really important. You can feel the preparedness that has been on demand, especially with hospitals. The conversation, in the public, like the media presence is covering this dynamic between government and caregivers, and what everyone is saying is what they think is going to happen, what they want to happen, what isn't happening in time, and how we need to have a better focus and be ready and fortify ourselves. And all of that, to me, sounds really solar, the moon that we've been in for 23 days, that, it's all about this fiery, fast-moving recognition of what it is we need and want, and the fierce statement of it, And we see it in the pandemic because this is, we need, you know, everyone needs protective equipment and everyone needs ventilators and everyone needs money, everyone needs reassurance. And so these things have been driven out fast, overcoming differences in order to deliver in a quick way. And I just feel like the solar tone feeds that responsiveness. Then the planetary day that we had on Thursday is an indicator of kind of how we'll be moving in 5 days to the planetary moon. It's a much heavier, slower tonal shift. And red planetary Earth on Thursday, I thought it was really like, oh God, you know, just this kind of collapse where things have been fiery and fast moving, even if we're all sort of stuck inside. But there was this dynamic of being invigorated and an adrenaline rush about all this change. And then it seemed like on that day, red planetary Earth, that it just kind of stopped. It was the first day I hadn't like gamely gone running, so I would stay, you know, energized through all this time home alone. And that day I was just like, yeah, I mean, it's been 9 days of running and that's over. Like, I'm not going out today. And I think that that became sort of the metaphor for other dynamics for me in the day of just like, yeah, I'm tired. I feel impeded. Like, there isn't anything fast and there isn't fervent energy. And that, I think, is what we have to kind of, in some ways, prepare ourselves to anticipate for the planetary moon. I'm telling you this 5 days ahead because I think it's important to be able to transition from the solar moon to the planetary moon gracefully. Like, if you have the foresight to know that it goes from moving at the speed of light to everything moving at the speed of, like, you know, how fast granite shifts. You know, sometimes there's a seismic tremor for sure, but most of the time, the planetary movement, meaning the movement of our planet in and of itself, not through the sky, but how the Earth moves, is slow. It isn't the speed of light at all. It's the speed of Earth. It's a slow speed. It's heavy. And that's, you know, the difference between us in a physical form, physical embodiment and incarnation, and us as a spirit. And the solar tone for 28 days is really exciting because we can feel like the spark of ourselves. We can feel like the firefly inside us is set free, that we are able and allowed and encouraged to, you know, be really intention-oriented and have our ideas ready and raring and communicated and impassioned. And then, so that we don't burn out our adrenals, like being that all the time, you know, we have this nuanced change, or it can feel like an abrupt change, but the change is real from solar to planetary. Again, if we're just doing the 13-day wave spell, and remind you that, you know, just it's always the same the way we move through wave spells, but when we just have one day at a time, the solar day is wishing and communicating to the divine realm as you perceive it, because you have ascended to a certain height and you're ready and excited and you want to be part of that world, the astral world, the heavenly world. Like, that's where you want to go in the solar tone, the solar day. Like, hey, I want in. We've been riding a wave that is going to the sky in our mind. We're just taking off. And in that elation of getting so close to the sun, we just are free. We're sort of liquidated. Like, what we want comes flowing out of us in ideas and in expression. And then the next day, it stops. It stops because we ascend no more. So that's what you can think about the planetary tone. It is the, you know, in the solar tone, we're aiming for the sky. In the planetary tone, we are kept on Earth. We are asked to observe that for all that yearning, excitement, feeling that we really are joining the sky gods because we're getting so high, or we're getting so, you know, emphatic and infatuated with our desires and goals, aims. I don't think that we're being dishonest. I think we're being aspirational, and that's really necessary. And it is the culmination of all the tones that came before it, all the moons in the year of working really hard through personal karma and cultural drama, and finally finding this window where we can be freely, invocate everything we believe in that's upward and want to go there. And then reality. And it's not meant to be like a slap on your hands and, oh, that was dumb, you shouldn't have been dreaming. But it can feel like being reminded that you can't really be that high. You know, it's parental in some ways. So the shift into the planetary moon, which I'll talk more about when we get there, can be disappointing. It can be disappointing. It can also be a time of collapse because we need to recover from the speed of the solar tone. So anticipate some of that and don't feel that if you've entered depression or a kind of like languidness where you don't have dynamic charge and virility, just forgive yourself. We're going to be, in the Red Dragon wave spell, in the new Zolkin, and that's going to take up a lot of our attention. You know, this feeling of birth, which can be uncomfortable, this feeling of recognizing that things that started last summer are coming into manifestation, that is a great thing to put your attention on. Just keep reaching for the duration of the cycle rather than being so present in the moment. Only go backward in your mind or find that way to research, like, what have I been able to accomplish, or how has that shift really occurred? You know, did I wish for it and anticipate it, or did it just come without me having an awareness that I even wanted it? But something is different than from the beginning of the Zolkin cycle, the last Red Dragon wave spell in mid-July 2019. And then finally, let's just be together for a moment on what it is to go to sleep on March 29th, or just calling it what it is, yellow cosmic sun, a portal day. The last day of the Zolkin is the last tribe and the last tone in conjunction. It is the end of the yellow star experience. So we have this reflection back over the wave spell. We're releasing it. We're feeling the transcendence, the ways that we are prepared for war. You know, the best ways that we've come together in preparedness effectively for war. And now it's time. It's time to take on the burden or, be in the intensity of the next step, you know, whether it's open conflict or conquest or however you want to describe it. Like, we were called to war by Yellow Star and we went. We've entered that phase. And Yellow Star also showed us how beautiful life can be again. For some of us, this is way more beautiful than what preceded it. And I think that's for me because I was already living this lifestyle without any clear awareness of, you know, how did I become so introverted? How did I become so art-oriented where I just stay home making stuff or finishing projects from, you know, as I keep saying, before the internet, when the internet became this huge cyber distraction and detour, and just going back to like the handcrafts and genuine art expression, you know, most of my waking hours, and also lots of time in nature, which is permissible where I live. And so I stepped into the time when we are socially isolated from each other with, you know, moons and moons of experience. And so I'm finding a lot of comfort in that it is an established routine for me to be sort of separated from the culture in a everyday way. But I'm also finding like, well, it's less pollution, it's less noise pollution, it's less shopping, it's less, in sort of thoughtless indulgence of time. People are more in touch with what they're doing. It's also more timeless, which is one of the big descriptors of White Wizard, this 13-year odyssey we're just beginning. You know, when you wake up and you're like, wait, what day is it? I don't have any anchor. You know, I have no appointments. I have no destination. So which day of the week is it? Like, I like that dream like experience. I like how my dreams have been. I like how I sleep a lot. I sleep a lot to stay fortified against getting sick. I let myself sleep as much as I want, you know, just through the night. And I think how many people are getting more sleep than they have in years. And I'm touched and moved by all of that simplicity. So to me, the beauty of Yellow Star Wave Spell and the finishing of the Zolk'in, you know, I said it was going to be the end of a story we've lived for 260 days. Like, I'm really feeling that it's not a tragic ending, that it's a dynamic ending. And of course, as with all the Mayan calendars, when one ends, we just begin again. So when you sleep tonight, you're going to sleep your way through this tremendous thing called magic flight, which is between wave spells, between moons, but here it's between the Zolk'in cycles. And you can wake up to a totally new Zolk'in experience with, you know, it can be crunchy and charged at the beginning, but we'll be talking and walking our way through it together. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.